There are many positives in sport, however, and you only have to look towards Brazil for one of the shining lights with the sun glistening on the goal that we're winning. Let me speak to Stephen Beacom from the Belfast Telegraph. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
Very well, Stephen. Let's focus, first of all, on the positives. We have some very fine athletes down in Rio.
Absolutely, Frank. Do you know what, Frank? Whenever Bethany Firth won her second gold medal of the Games last night over in Rio, Northern Ireland, if they'd have been competing as a separate country instead of just having athletes competing for Great Britain and athletes competing for Ireland, Northern Ireland would have actually been 12th in the Paralympics 2016 medal table. So that tells you all you need to know about how well we are doing over there. Jason Smith, he won a gold on Friday. He won the 100 metres. And then yesterday was an incredible day for Northern Ireland because first, Michael McKillop won the 1500 metres. That was his fourth Paralympic gold medal. And then Bethany Firth steps up again. She's having a wonderful Games. She won her second of these Games and her third overall. So it's just been incredible for Northern Ireland. And there could be more to come because Bethany has two more events. So it's fantastic for the country. It really is.
They're inspirational, aren't they, for people who would like to get involved in athletics full stop?
Oh, without question. I'm very lucky in the fact that I get to interview these sports stars. And, you know, when you talk to people like Michael and Bethany and Jason, they truly do inspire you. You know, Michael McKillop, he's had his dark days with mental health and he's very open about that. He's been bullied at school and he uses all this as an inspiration to try and encourage other youngsters, both able-bodied and disabled, to actually compete in sport and enjoy sport and find some joy from sport. Jason Smith, the same. Bethany's the same. All of these athletes that deserve the highest of praise. And the way they go about things, Frank, you would think, you know, they're like professional athletes, but these people, obviously, they don't get the money that the professionals get. But still, what an inspiration. And I can't wait to see them come home. There should be a big, big party for them.
Absolutely. When I say they inspire people to get involved in athletics full stop, I mean in sport full stop. Unlike what we saw in Glasgow over the weekend, the hanging of sex dolls from the stadium rafters, which was disgusting by a minority of Celtic fans, and the wrecking of the toilets by a minority of Rangers fans, that's so depressing. It would put you off wanting to follow football in Scotland.
Well, the thing about it is, a Celtic versus Rangers game doesn't need all that, because a Celtic versus Rangers game has everything in it that you would need. It's got a great atmosphere. There's incredible passion with the fans, with the players, with the managers. The games invariably are very dramatic matches and are very entertaining. And you just don't need all that stuff off the pitch. You're right in what you say. It's a minority and they try and spoil things. It's the majority who create the incredible atmosphere and they just want a good game of football and hopefully their team wins. That's what they go there for, the match, and to enjoy that noise, to enjoy that colour, to enjoy that spectacle. But yeah, some of the things that happened at Parkhead on Saturday were very unsavoury indeed.
Yeah, I've never been to an Old Firm game, and I have to say that when you look at clips on the internet and whatever, you get a real sense of hatred that doesn't exist for even in the Manchester Derby, where they do despise one another, the fans, and of course there were, you know, there were scuffles in the street as well in Manchester. But that sectarian hatred is such a disadvantage within sport. Can that ever be addressed, or is it beyond addressing in Scotland?
Well, Frank, I have been to Old Firm derbies at Parkhead, at Ibrox and at Hampden. And I have to say, they are both the most enjoyable of experiences, the most enlightening of experiences, and sometimes the most disappointing of experiences for all the reasons that you've mentioned there. The noise at these games has to be heard to be believed. The atmosphere both sets of fans generate is extraordinary. My favourite one is at Hampden, whenever you've got equal number of Celtic and Rangers fans. And I remember the first time I went to Hampden to cover a Celtic versus Rangers match. It was a Scottish Cup final. And I literally couldn't hear myself think. It was one of those occasions when you think, my goodness, this is just astonishing. But yes, there are the disappointing elements of it, and the fans always try and get one up on each other. And there is that sectarian sort of undertone there, which becomes very relevant whenever you're listening to some of the songs. But I'm really pleased, you know, with how the managers have dealt with issues in the last few weeks, Mark Warburton and Brendan Rodgers. Brendan, he's from Northern Ireland, and he was brought up with a history of Celtic Rangers, and it's been really encouraging hearing him talk about how Rangers fans have come up to him in the street and have shown him their tattoos and have said, "You're very welcome, blah, blah, blah. We still want to beat you, but it's nice to see you here." And whenever you hear a manager talk like that, you think maybe there is a little bit of hope for the people who maybe bring in the sectarian nature into that particular game. And I would love to hear more of that from the likes of Rodgers and Warburton and the players as well, because everyone has a responsibility here. And hopefully the next Old Firm derby will just be talking about the football on the pitch. I have to say, for the match itself, Celtic were very impressive. They've been impressive for most of Brenton's reign, and he looks as if he's a perfect fit for that football club. Rangers, obviously, listen, Rangers have a way to go. Any Rangers fan who thinks otherwise will probably have had a big reality check on Saturday. But the fact that Rangers are back in the top flight is brilliant for that club, and hopefully they can move on, because you need a strong Celtic, you need a strong Rangers, not just for Scottish football, but for worldwide football, because they're two of the biggest names in football. And of course, tomorrow night, Frank, Celtic are away in Barcelona in the Champions League. That is going to be an incredible occasion. I know Brendan Rodgers is relishing that match, and I'm sure a lot of Celtic fans will be going over to that game. And hopefully in time, Rangers will be playing those sort of big games too, because as I said, Celtic and Rangers are just two huge sporting names. We want to be talking about them for all the right reasons, not the wrong reasons.
Yeah, very, very, very true, Stephen. And finally, briefly, Stephen, first blood, Pep Guardiola.
You'll be a happy man today, Frank. And the amazing thing about that is that Manchester City did it without some of their big hitters, like Vincent Kompany, like Sergio Aguero. City deserved it, no question about in my mind about that. The only time they looked in danger was whenever Claudio Bravo tried to catch balls with his hands.
The last time I saw a keeper like that, he was playing for Cliftonville Reserves, and that was about 22 years ago.
Well, maybe you're doing the Cliftonville Reserve goalkeeper a disservice there. He's going to be fascinating to watch, Frank, because it's clear that Pep Guardiola has given him license to be the 12th out or the 11th outfield player. And he's almost like some sort of quarterback now, where he picks up the ball and pings passes all around the place. But he's going to get caught out, there's no question about that. But City were very impressive. I thought De Bruyne was brilliant, and what a player he is when he's on top form. I think there's a slight concern, though, for Manchester United, because Paul Pogba was brought in for £89 million. And I don't know where he was on Saturday. He must have gone AWOL or something, because he just didn't figure in that match whatsoever. And I think they've got to find a way to use him properly, because they're not getting a tune out of him at all. And the other factor I would look at is Wayne Rooney. What happens to him now? Because surely Mourinho has to start thinking about playing Marcus Rashford from the start. And if that happens, then I wonder where Wayne Rooney's going to play. But listen, it was a really cracking game of football. Again, lots of drama. And what was also really interesting was the mutual respect between Guardiola and Mourinho. Of course, it's early days in the season, so we'll see how long that lasts when the main games kick in later on in the campaign. But definitely a great day for Manchester City. They certainly enjoyed it. I know you will have enjoyed it on Saturday. And it just set the season up really well.
Totally, totally. Stephen, thank you very much. Stephen Beacom from the Belfast Telegraph.